We turn now in the Gospel of Matthew to chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Hear now these words. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us." When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. I do not know if you felt it just now, when I read that story about Joseph. But when you read that story, the page shakes a little bit. There is this jolt, like driving over a speed bump too quickly, because we are taken aback, because Joseph is taken aback, where it says, Mary was found with child. And I guess this is not too surprising. There is always some sort of jolt when we hear news about expecting a child or a family expanding, because it will change our lives in ways we cannot expect, that it begins to rewrite the story of our lives. And this was not the story that Joseph had anticipated, at least not now. Joseph and Mary were only engaged. So when it says that Mary was found with child, there is this jolt. It's why the page shakes a little bit. But then the angel says to Joseph, "Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife." When I was a child, there were all these nativity scenes scattered throughout the house, decorating it for Christmas. And they all had a story behind them. They were either purchased on a trip somewhere or received as a gift, but they were scattered in all of the rooms of the house. But there was always this one special nativity placed in the dining room, because we were not allowed to play in the dining room. It was the safest room in the house. It was a gift given to my mom from my grandparents from a trip they had taken to the Holy Land. It was made out of olive wood, and I can still picture it today as I would walk through the dining room to the kitchen, that from time to time I would stop and look at each figure in the nativity. Years ago, my parents decided to purchase a second dog. The first dog, Abby, was well-mannered, well-behaved, well-trained. that when she was outside the house, she loved to run and romp and roll in the grass. She would chase tennis balls for hours on end. But inside, she was quiet and docile. She was content just to lay at your feet at the edge of the couch. But when they purchased the second dog, Bailey, well, she was much more spirited. She was not different outside from inside. She had one speed, which was wide open and always had this look of mischief in her eye. And she did not understand the rules about the dining room. And one Advent, poor Joseph went missing. We did our best not to panic. We formed search parties and fanned out all over the house, looking beneath couch cushions and behind chairs. We went outside through all of the shrubs and all of the usual places where Bailey would bury things. And we kept saying with the angel, "Joseph, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife." But to no avail. Joseph never returned. It was as if he heard the news that year and left. And the only person more worried than my parents was Mary, sitting there all by herself in the nativity. Thankfully, that first Christmas, Joseph did not leave. That he chose to continue on that journey towards Christmas. That Joseph did not leave. And he did not reject Mary either. That he could have fled, but he didn't. And he could have rejected Mary as well. There was even scriptural basis for doing so. Back there in Deuteronomy 22, where it says, if a young woman who is already engaged is found with child, you can take her to the edge of town and stone her. But as one preacher has said, apparently, that is not the way that Joseph read the Bible. That Joseph read the Bible, as we might say, in the light of the Spirit of Christ. That Joseph did not leave, and Joseph did not reject her, that he chose to continue on that journey towards Christmas. Which begs the question, what does that journey look like? That during Advent, for all of the sacred, beautiful moments, for all of the flashes of light in the sky and voices of angels, those expectations and whispers of grace, there are always in this life and in our faith moments of fear, unexpected struggles, and questions about what to do next as we feel the burdens and the brokenness of this life. And like Joseph, sometimes we take that very next step simply by the strength of God's love. That whenever doubts about tomorrow start to creep into the worries of today, we take that next step by the strength of the faithfulness of God. That whereas Christmas seems to come so suddenly every year, Advent reminds us that the love of God is consistent. Like those two lumberjacks, taking turns, swinging the axe, trying to cut the tree down, that each time when it is their turn, they grip their axe and they rear it back and they swing as hard as they can, thinking that it will be the swing that cuts the tree down. But one single swing, determining whether the tree falls or not, it's not the final swing that cuts the tree down. It's the 99 swings that come before it, that like Joseph, it is not the one last final step that we take that brings us to Christmas. It's each small step along the way where we take the next step by the strength of God's love. And with each step we take, we practice the love of God. There is a difference between the story of Christmas as it is told in the Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of Luke. That those are the only two Gospels that tell the story about the birth of Jesus. The Gospel of Matthew starts with the baptism of Jesus and his ministry. And the Gospel of John reaches all the way back to the story of creation, where all things are created through the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. But in the Gospel of Matthew, we hear the angel call out to Joseph, saying, "Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife." But that is not what we hear in the Gospel of Luke. In Luke, we hear the angel call out to Mary, saying, "Do not be afraid, for you have found favor with God." That something is taking place inside of Mary. In a poem by Siona Rouse, she wonders what Mary must have been thinking, afraid and confused, as she writes, "A whisper of grace landed in my ear. 'You're going to have a baby boy, Mary. Now, ain't that good news?' But my mind captured every question overwhelming me, and only one found its way free. How? How can this be? Mary, don't you know? Nothing is impossible for God. Nothing." And that's the only reminder I needed. Somewhere inside of me, something was breathing life into my faith, calling me to speak. And these words came from the gut of my soul, where joy and pain, laughter and tears, life and death are born. They came from a place where God's Spirit dwells. And that soul smiled as these words journeyed from my mouth. "I am the Lord's. Let it be." Those were words of faith. "I am the Lord's. Let it be." And as much as there is this difference between the Gospel of Luke focusing on what is happening to Mary and the Gospel of Matthew focusing on what is happening to Joseph, there is also a similarity, because there seems to be something that is happening inside of Joseph. That with each step that he takes towards Christmas, the Spirit of Christ is born within him as well. That the love of God is the reason that he continues on the journey to Christmas. But it is also what becomes evident inside of him. That at Christmas, the Spirit of Christ, dare we say, is born within us. This Christmas, we might do well to think about that journey that is always before us, that we take each step by the strength of God's love. The journey is never finished. It is always before us. But we take that next step by the strength of God's faithfulness to us and through prayer. We might try telling God out loud, where we can hear ourselves talk, that we might try telling God about the person that we hope to become. We might try telling God that we want to become people of patience and humility, mercy, meekness, joy, and generosity as a way of taking another step on the journey. Not that we will ever fully arrive, but just as another step towards the Spirit of Christ. That we might even say that prayer each day during the 12 days of Christmas, from December 25th to Epiphany on January 6th, that we can say that prayer out loud, telling God about the person that we hope to become. And then we can say, I am the Lord's. Let it be. It is the simple gift of Christmas that comes to us slowly and over time in a life that is not so simple. But we take each step by the strength of God's love. And with each new step that we take, we do so by practicing the love of God. Amen.